Sebastian Usher is our correspondent on the Middle East. Thank you, Sebastian. I'm really keen to talk about the situation in Lebanon, which has been quietly growing. We've been watching so much of northern Syria, understandably. I'll just get your take on where things are at with northern Syria now and the events since the Pence visit, the ceasefire in inverted commas for 5 days. Where are we at in about day three or four of that ceasefire?
I think we're on day three. So there has been fighting. There's also been a lot of movement. You have the American troops, what was left, it's 1,000 or so, all seem to be on their way out of the country into Western Iraq. Now, the Americans are saying that they're still there to guarantee that the deal that they've done with the Turks will be upheld, which essentially means that the Turks will be allowed a buffer zone, but not to the extent that they wanted. They wanted to go at least 20 miles into Syria. The deal is not as deep as that. That is, again, at the cost of the Kurds to an extent. The Kurdish fighters are to pull out completely. We've heard they pulled out from one of the major border towns, Ras Al Ain, where there was a lot of fighting. It was one of the main areas where the fighting was going on in the first week of the offensive while it was still raging. So, I mean, on the ground, it's still very, very volatile. The ceasefire is supposed to end, or pause, perhaps, is a better way of putting it. On Wednesday, President Erdogan, the Turkish president, is meeting President Putin, the Russian president, in the next couple of days. Now, they have been deciding Syria's future to some extent between themselves in the past year or so. The US has become a bit of an irrelevance, and what's happened has pointed that even more clearly. It's all very much in President Putin's court now. Love him or hate him, you know, he has played his cards in Syria well, although it does mean he has a lot of responsibility. What the Russians have been good at so far is not taking on the kind of perhaps overambitious responsibilities that the Americans had set themselves up in the Middle East, and which President Trump is now in this rather chaotic way trying to withdraw them from and trying to appeal to his base in the US by doing that.
The protests in Lebanon are growing. Where is this heading? Where is this heading?
Where's it heading? Well, at the moment, it's heading to huge parties across the whole of Lebanon. I've just been watching some of the videos. My wife, who is from Beirut, says that most of her friends have now gone out onto the protests. A day or so ago, there were fears, and obviously these could arise again, but fears that it could turn violent. Some militias got involved down south. I'm sure many people have seen the pictures where there have been gunmen standing around, but there have been no casualties so far. The arrests that have been made, people have been released the next day. The army is holding back. The government is talking about compromise. The Prime Minister, Hariri, is saying that a reform program will be presented this week, possibly tomorrow. That's not going to satisfy the people on the streets who, as I say, are finding their voice in a way that the Lebanese haven't for a very long time. And they're very keen, the Lebanese, to make this their own style of protest. So they're trying to keep the sectarian elements out. Obviously, those sectarian elements kept the civil war going there for more than 16 years. And they're trying also to avoid what happened in a lot of the protests in the Arab Spring, like in Cairo. A lot of the feeling against those protests that grew actually after the Arab Spring, when they continued for various reasons, was that the people carrying out the protests were essentially just destroying the center of the city, but they weren't caring about the people who were living there. So you'll notice, again, in coverage and pictures and videos coming from Lebanon, you see people both in the morning and even as the protests are going on, trying to make sure that the rubbish that is left is cleared up, that they don't leave, you know, a huge mess, that they don't cause chaos. Now, this could all change because the people want, and we've seen this actually recently in Algeria, we've seen this in Iraq where it turned deadly. We've seen it again to some extent in Egypt where protests have been absolutely repressed, but they came back again a week or two ago. We're seeing the sense that the whole system has to be overturned. Now, obviously, when you get to that, it's going to depend on each country. So far, Lebanon hasn't shown itself that it wants to respond in a repressive way. But there are so many forces involved. There's Hezbollah. There's even the Syrians. There's even Bashar al-Assad, who may see this as an opportunity of some kind to reinstate himself back in the whole Lebanese situation. So it is a dangerous situation. But at the moment, it's one that people are enjoying. and they're making the most of it. And the fears that they had that it could turn violent at the moment haven't turned out to have been proved right.
What is it that they want? That there are the economic woes and there is corruption at the centre. But do they want...
Essentially.
Do they want the government to fall?
Well, they do want the government to fall, but they know that the government falling isn't enough. I mean, many of them want a technocratic government to come, a much smaller one which they feel won't be so easily swayed towards corruption, which will be much more, which will try to balance the interest. Because, I mean, Lebanon is one of the most indebted countries in the world. It has a large unemployment problem. Even the dollar on which it's depended became difficult to withdraw from banks in the past week or two. So things have got serious economic in ways they haven't been for a long, long time. So people want that sorted. They want no rise in taxes, which has been mooted, the thing which brought them out on the streets, first of all. They want to see the salaries of the officials brought down, but not their own. They want their pensions to be preserved. They don't want austerity to be turned on them, the people who are already suffering. They want the people who want to bring austerity to be the first to suffer from it and to show that they're willing to go in full, you know, to change the way things are. Remember that in Lebanon, that there was the civil war. The people who still run the country, many of them are the ones who fought in the civil war, who were warlords. That's never really changed, whether it's still the actual heads of those families or it's their children, or even their grandchildren who are in place. That system hasn't changed. And that's what people want changed. But I mean, they're not stupid. They're not naive. They know that's not going to happen quickly. At the moment, I think they're enjoying the sense of unity, the sense, you know, they're Lebanese and they'll have fun while they're doing it. They know that just getting rid of a government isn't enough, but they want the system, a corrupt system that hasn't changed for decades, but hasn't dealt with all these problems that Lebanon has and hasn't really faced up to. They want a serious political class to step in and deal with that.
Thanks so much. The BBC's Sebastian Usher.